The wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos? You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
I went on the van parking with my wife once. She said, let's go. Let's get in the van.
Like,
where are we going?
Home?
The kids are doing some work. Let's go do some work. Get in the van. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Why not? The closet.
Gotta go get the minivan.
See, when you shut the closet door, you got like three doors into it. Everything can happen there. How much space do you need? Those kids can go sit on their computer all they want, but I'll be out in the backyard on a bench or something.
Come on.
I'm serious. I'll be on a porch swing. I mean, really, it's got to stay fun.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. World's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Wake them up, get them up, get them out on a Tuesday. B&E with you on what's going to be a lovely Tuesday in Austin, Texas. First time in a long while. No rain in the forecast. Mostly sunny, high, low to mid-90s, 94 degrees today. Same tonight and tomorrow. Looking pretty good for the end of the middle of the week. Maybe some rain chances later in the week, but we'll take the bright sunshine today, tomorrow, and into Thursday, as we have a lot to do. Starting 4 hours of fun and conversation as Bucky rattles the keys over there. We good?
My keys got caught in the headset.
What the heck were you doing over there?
Got caught in a wire.
Hearing the jingle and a jangle and a jingle and a jangle. It's a Tuesday, 18 September, with a lot to talk about. Longhorns on to TCU after the win Saturday night over USC. Tom Herman made that clear yesterday. They know the challenge that presents them as Big 12 conference play begins on Saturday. Monday Night Football last night, wrapping up week number two. We'll look into the Seahawks and Bears. Bears all of a sudden with as dominant a defense as there might be in the NFC with the addition of Khalil Mack. We'll dive in there and recap week two of the NFL. Brian Broaddus, our weekly visit with the former scout, former front office member, talking Cowboys football coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Excited about that visit. So plenty of football, a little baseball as we are about 12 games to go in the regular season. A lot of news coming out on the minor league level, which we'll get to coming up as affiliation changes are being made official this week, it looks like, with a lot to do. How are you, despite the key issue, poker night last night?
Poker night was, it worked in my favor.
Nice.
I had a fine, itchy-switchy night last night, and boys aren't very happy this morning. A couple guys are leaving town.
Somebody else out there have an issue or BK with grown men playing something called itchy switchy. I don't know. I mean, poker, just go with poker. Is that a variation of a poker game or is it a whole different?
Not even close. It's just a one card game. Everybody gets one. And
itchy, like
you pass it on if you don't. It's very similar. If you don't like the cards, you pass it to the next guy. Aces are very, very bad. Deuces, obviously.
Oh, aces are bad?
You want high cards. You want to get a high card and keep the card. If you don't like it, you pass it to the next guy. But you never know what you're getting from somebody else. You know, if you decide to take a card.
It's a fast-moving game, it sounds
fast,
like.
Yeah, it's very fast-moving, and I have side bets with everybody on the side, up to $4 and $5 a pop. And so I won two of those games, not including the pot.
So for you, and, like, I know you don't really like playing golf. You like to golf to gamble. Do you like to play cards, or you just like to gamble?
Who the hell wants to play just cards? I mean,
taking some money from my
unless buddy. You're playing with your family. If you play with people,
like
don't
go
you
fish and stuff. You know, it's raining outside, like it's been you
crazy
just
eights or some weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Even when my kids are kids, I used to take their money. You kids got any money in the bank? Come over here.
Exactly.
Does anybody play Go Fish?
Oh yeah,
still do. Not a long time. Enjoy that though.
I did. I used to love Go Fish. Yeah,
I sat in on one of Buck's poker games, and I swear they're just making up the rules as they go.
And there's brawls and fights and people quitting in
did
the middle.
Did you actually play or you just observed?
No, they were going to steal my money. They were going to change the rules during every game.
I had a guy.
Comes the chump.
I had Mean Mike last night. Mean Matt Mike was so frustrated.
Did he sit next to Black Scotty?
He sat right next to Black Scotty.
See, I knew it.
As a matter of fact,
Mean
you're absolutely
Mike
right.
And Black Scotty.
And he sat next to Black Scotty, and guess what?
What?
He got so frustrated, he quit. He's like the player from Buffalo Bills. He quit in the middle. No, and he didn't play anymore that night. The night he
Vontae
goes,
Davis?
He went Vontae Davis and actually just quit because of an itchy switchy because he kept somebody kept giving him a bad card. So he, that's it.
Can't do that.
That's it. Not only that, he like threw his money in.
I got to finish the game.
He quit, Vontae. He really did. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and, of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for the great job you do. Your teachers and, of course, your veterans, thank you also.
Hey, listen, we'll get the headlines here coming up. We'll talk all kinds of football. Whenever we always have Scott Bennett doing our traffic, whenever there's an issue that we want you to be aware of, we try to get it out there early there. You know, also, it's in our neighborhood. Bee Cave Road. Bee Cave Road between right between Barton Creek Drive, the road that goes to Barton Creek Country Club, and, you know, the county line right there on Bee Cave coming towards 360 is going to be closed all morning.
What?
Yes. Till noon today, it says here, from Barton Creek Boulevard to Loop 360, overnight some power lines were taken down by a large truck. So, and I've been thinking about this since, where are those people going to go? Like, there is no alternate route to that, is there?
BK, does that affect you getting to your club at all? I mean, that doesn't affect you getting to your
country
club. Well,
Lost Creek's going to become a thoroughfare.
Oh, down that long, on that winding road?
Well, yeah, but you can cut down, exactly. But look, so think about it, if you're coming down 360 to get to... Or coming down, a lot of people coming out of Cuernavaca,
up that way
to get to school, to get to work. And I'm sitting here thinking, where else are they
going
to go?
Well, I'm glad of that because I'm not going that way. Yeah, I would have been going that way.
Well, a lot of people are going to and need to. So be advised. I'm not sure what I wouldn't even know. I guess it's down to Lost Creek or all the way down Barton Creek Boulevard to.
The winding roads of Lost Creek.
To Southwest Parkway.
I mean, packed in the neighborhood. Southwest Parkway is the, I always call it the highway to nowhere.
Well, this is going to be a problem because a lot of people come out of that way trying to get to town or get, I mean, you can't even get to 360 at this point. So if you're trying to get your kids to school, that's going to become a problem. So
there will be kids in the car line this morning.
Lots of them. The stretch of Bee Caves Road closed until at least noon today. Barton Creek Boulevard to Loop 360, repairing power lines. So be advised of that this morning. Yikes. Probably already a mess. And that's right down the road from us as we're here at 360 in Lost Creek. So be advised. We'll keep you posted on that throughout the morning. Let's get you started with the morning headlines. A daily brief from the Ticket City Update Desk. Caliber Collision brings you the news. We'll get to that Monday Night Football matchup here in a moment. Start with college football, though, where Texas head coach Tom Herman had a pretty clear message to anyone who would listen yesterday at his weekly Monday news conference. There to recap that Longhorn win over USC Saturday night. Message pretty clear. It's on to TCU as Texas now faces a Big 12 conference opener, facing a Horned Frog team that has dominated Texas four consecutive years. TCU coming off a 12-point loss to Ohio State on Saturday night. But Coach Herman knows this year's edition for Gary Patterson may be as good as any year or better than any of the previous four.
We've got our work cut out for us on both sides of the football. TCU has speed everywhere. I mean, their skill guys on offense are fast in terms of their wide receivers and running backs. You know, and then obviously on defense. Even their front is fast and athletic. So, you know, they played well. They came up a bit short, but as fast of a defense as I've seen in a long time.
Texas and TCU coming up 3:30 on Saturday from the stadium. It's another one of those national televised games. Big 12 Conference has named Longhorn senior linebacker Gary Johnson its Defensive Player of the Week. Did that yesterday. It's the second time he's won that award. His performance Saturday night against USC, about six tackles, four for loss, a sack, a forced fumble, and a quarterback hurry in the 37-14 win. Some bad news for Texas is starting linebacker and defensive end Malcolm Roach. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a fractured foot. He'll have surgery on Wednesday. The other rest of the injury report for Texas running back Keyonte Ingram listed as possible for Saturday. He'll have to have a good week of practice. And starting center Zach Shackelford probably doubtful, according to Coach Herman yesterday, for Saturday's game with the Horned Frogs. Monday Night Football wrapping up week two last night. Khalil Mack and the suddenly dominating Bears defense leads Chicago to a 24-17 win over Seattle. The newly acquired Mack had a sack, one of six for the Bears on the night. Also had a strip sack fumble force against Russell Wilson. Bears cornerback Prince Amukamara returned an interception 49 yards for a score to clinch the game in the fourth quarter. Bears improved to 1-1. Next up for the Seahawks are the Cowboys this coming Sunday in Seattle. They'll face a Dallas defense that has allowed just 29 points through their first two games. That's the fewest a Cowboys team has allowed to start a season since 1996. They're coming off a six-sack performance against the Giants on Sunday night. Elsewhere in the NFL, Vikings have cut rookie kicker Daniel Carson a day after he missed three field goals in the 29-29 tie for the Vikings against the Packers. They've signed former Cowboy Dan Bailey as his replacement. Browns also cut their rookie kicker, Zane Gonzalez, who missed two field goals and two extra points in Cleveland's three-point loss to New Orleans on Sunday. They've signed Greg Joseph as his replacement. Browns also yesterday traded troubled wide receiver Josh Gordon to the New England Patriots for a fifth-round draft pick. The team announced their intentions to part ways with the former Baylor Bear Saturday night after Gordon showed up late for a team meeting on Saturday morning. Baseball, Round Rock Express and their parent club, the Texas Rangers, made it official yesterday as the Round Rock franchise formally announced their intent to pursue another Major League team affiliation for the year 2019 or beginning next spring. It's been widely expected the Express, who are owned in part by the Ryan family, would once again become the Houston Astros affiliate when the agreement expires. That's expected to happen. Official word could come this or should come later this week. Baseball last night, Seattle beat Houston 4-1. Houston's leading the AL West down to four games over the idle Oakland A's. Rangers were a 3-0 loser to Tampa.
This segment brought to you by Caliber Collision. No matter how it happened, Caliber Collision makes it like it never did. Rate among the highest in customer satisfaction, restoring the rhythm of your life. Caliber Collision.
And there we go. Busy. A lot in there on the Ticket City update desk.
That was a good game last night for a while.
Well, it was...
I don't know how Russell Wilson is going to expect to survive this year. I mean, I don't know how many hits that guy can take, but now he's starting to get a little careless with the ball. He's got so much pressure on him. I know he's got to be thinking, well, really, a guy can't be that close to me. Well, they're that close to you, Russell. They are in your pocket right now.
Well, the Bears have to think we should be 2-0, if not for the work of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay last Sunday night. And now another primetime performance. And Khalil Mack is as advertised. I mean, this guy is, you know, he's worth his money. He's playing out in Oakland, so you didn't get to see him a lot. And Oakland wasn't playing a lot of primetimers, but you knew he was one of the best. This guy's 25 years old. I mean, John Gruden is, I mean, you don't trade players like that. I don't care how many first-round draft picks you get. That guy is, and I saw a tweet from Emmanuel Acho, last night. Of course, he's doing great work with ESPN and the Longhorn Network covering college football. His brother, Sam Acho, is playing for the Bears, and he said he would talk to him about what it's like playing with Khalil Mack, and he said it has to be what it's like to play with LeBron. He said it's just like, we're all great athletes out here, but this guy's just different level, and you're thinking, what is John Gruden doing trading that guy?
I'm watching Russell Wilson switch jerseys with him at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I need your jersey. Can I get your jersey?
It's the night the Bears honored Brian Urlacher, and of course the Bears have a history of great linebackers and defensive players from, you know, Dick Butkus and
Mike Singletary,
Urlacher, and here's the latest. They also have a guy, Roquan Smith out of Georgia, and Danny Trevathan was really good last night. Akeem Hicks.
Lots of speed on that defense.
Boy, they can really get downhill. And they're coached by Vic Fangio, who was in San Francisco with Jim Harbaugh, back when Jim Harbaugh had those great San Francisco defenses that were going to Super Bowls. Mitchell Trubisky's the young quarterback. They've got some players. I mean, that division really, really intriguing. And Seattle, as you mentioned, you know, I had forgotten until I saw it last night that they hired Brian Schottenheimer to be their offensive coordinator this offseason. That's going to go poorly. He's been terrible wherever he's been. He was a part of that Jeff Fisher regime in St. Louis that just handcuffed quarterbacks. That's nepotism at its finest. That's, of course, the son of Marty Schottenheimer. He seems like a nice guy, but he keeps getting jobs, and his offenses are never very good. Don't get it. But either way, you know, Daryl Bevel was the OC for Seattle for so long, and I thought was very creative with Russell Wilson and what they did, allowing Russell to kind of get out of the pocket and make things happen. That was not a good offensive point.
Well,
Cowboys can beat the Seahawks in Seattle on
Friday. Yeah, if Trubisky would have hit a couple throws here, that score would have been
that could have been a higher.
He misses.
That's right.
He's misses some. He's still just kind of learning what this offense is all about. But man, this offense is just made for him. And when he gets out, that dude can run too. He's not a go to the sideline guy.
Well, remember Ryan Pace, their general manager in Chicago, has been one of the most aggressive GMs. He traded up to make sure he got Mitchell Trubisky to be his young quarterback. Now he's traded picks to get Khalil Mack to give them a superstar on defense. They hired Matt Nagy, who is
I love what he does offensively. Yeah, it's kind of fun stuff.
He was in from Kansas City. He's essentially running the Andy Reid offense there in Chicago. A lot of misdirection. A lot of eye candy going on.
They got a lot going on.
And they've got speed.
Right.
I mean, they've got speed. And you're right, Mitch Trubisky left some points on the field. I mean, there were touchdowns and plays to be made that he didn't. That game could have been really one-sided.
That dude is a big guy. He's a big dude at quarterback.
Yeah, Trubisky. And he moves pretty well. I mean, you see why.
I saw him make guy miss in the open field.
Well, you see, because remember, he played at North Carolina, and he only started 13 games. He's very raw. But he shot up the draft board because, as you said, people saw him. Size and speed and athleticism and arm. And
I would guess so.
He's got to come. But, you know, if he continues to improve, Bears are going to be a factor
in that
NFC.
Yeah, that's going to suck for Green Bay and Minnesota, who's now got a kicker now. We've got a kicker. We've got Dan Bailey now. Everything's good.
Yeah, Vikings are good. I mean, the Vikings should be 2-0. They should have a win in Lambeau Field if their kicker could make a kick. Packers think they should have won that game if stinking Clay Matthews doesn't get called for an absurd roughing the quarterback penalty that prevented an interception that would have ended the game.
Yeah, that's so still
a lot of controversy on that
still
game.
Sits bad. Let me tell folks about Indeed now. When you're hiring, you don't waste any time. You want an efficient way to get your short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Users of over 3 million businesses, jobs. You're getting set up screener questionings, then zero in qualified candidates using intuitive online dashboard. Now, when you need to hire fast, accelerate your results with sponsored jobs, new users, you're going to get to use Indeed for free. That's Indeed.com/radio. Terms and conditions, quality standards apply. That's Indeed.com/radio.
We now know why the Cleveland Browns finally decided to move on from Josh Gordon. We'll talk about that coming up. The report is out, and he's now going to be a New England Patriot, going to the best organization in football from the worst. We'll talk more NFL coming up. Cowboys and Seahawks coming up this Sunday. Brian brought us in the 8 o'clock hour. Texans are 0-2 and searching for answers. But Longhorns, Buck, get the victory on Saturday, and now it's a pretty quick turnaround. You've got to turn your attention to back-to-back purple. And then Crimson. I mean, this is where the Longhorns are at 2-1. Here comes TCU. Then it's to Manhattan. Then it's Oklahoma. You got to go one game at a time.
Yes.
But conference play is here. And it starts with, you know, we've gotten to see all these teams now. Now that we've seen 3 weeks of college football, who do you think is the best team in the Big 12? Is it Oklahoma?
It's Oklahoma and TCU.
Think they're even?
I mean, yeah. Because
I would give the defensive advantage to TCU, even though they gave up 40 to Ohio State. That's hard to say because Ohio State put 40 on them and 550 yards or 30 yards of offense.
Well, Oklahoma doesn't have the defense that TCU has right now, and I would agree with that. I think they have a better defense and lots of speed. So those two, that's going to be a heck of a game later on in the season if all those two teams stay healthy.
It's in Fort Worth too.
Yes, yes, I like that game a lot. I like the Longhorns to really grow a lot this week against TCU because we'll find out if they, you know, sniffing their own after a win over USC, or where they come down to earth and get really down to business, because there's a lot that they have to do in order to beat this team. I don't think they will beat this team.
Ooh, calling it on a Tuesday, no chance.
Oh, no, I don't think so. This team
come
has,
on, man. You at least wait till Friday to make everybody depressed.
Well, it's not making you depressed. It's a learning experience for the Longhorns still. This isn't one you just jump in and say,
come on, man. It's TCU, tiny little private school up there, 8,000 people.
How's that record gone over the last 4 years?
Not good, 0-4.
It's not good, right?
Well, they had a stretch of 30 years where they won it 29 out of 30.
No, this is Gary Patton. This is a different guy coaching now.
Yeah, okay.
This isn't Jim Wacker. This is a different. This is
Jim Wacker.
This isn't a
different.
Dennis
Franchione?
Yeah, this is a different TCU team. And I think what I saw on Saturday shows me that they're not the elite of the elite, but they're in that little lower echelon there that
Texas
are really,
is still
really good.
Kind of back end 15-25
and it's okay.
type team. That's kind of where
they are. Okay. It's fine.
Well, they're going to have to play a great game, and they're going to have to make some things happen. And I'll say this, after we've now seen the Longhorns for 3 games.
Yes.
Based on what I saw on Saturday night, I still firmly believe the Longhorns went into the Maryland game overconfident and had a vanilla
game
plan.
Don't say that.
Well, no. Well, you saw it. I mean, they were going. If they had gone with the same game plan they used against USC, they would have beaten Maryland, in my opinion. I mean, they were much more creative. They
we'd be looking at 3-0,
right? But I think this coaching staff, whether it was ego, hubris, whatever word you want to put on it, went into Maryland thinking that was a down animal and they could go in there and beat them on talent alone, not show much. Because here's what I wonder. I mean, I think this coaching staff expected to be 3-0 going into the TCU game, and here they are 2-1 with the horrible loss at Maryland. I don't because I agree with you that TCU is the favorite team. They're already a 3-point favorite in Austin.
Well, I'm expecting.
I'm wondering if Tom Herman takes control of this offense this week, and because you got to throw things at Gary Patterson he hadn't seen on tape yet. You got to come at him with things.
No, you come with that same offense you've been running.
No, because no one works. No one overworks Gary Patterson. This guy lives in the film room.
Yes,
he is. He's watching and rewatching every snap from this season so far. He is ready to ambush what you're doing. If Texas is going to win this game, Tom Herman has to be the mastermind that he was hired to be and at some level take control of this offense with Tim Beck and throw things at Gary Patterson that they haven't even shown yet. There's got to be new wrinkles to this offense that could get them on their heels a little bit and get Texas some energy.
I think
that's what it's going to take.
You're going to have to take chances. You're going to have to fake a field goal. You're gonna have to fake a punt. I don't know if I can trust this punter.
Well, you may have to do all that.
Yeah,
because TCU will. I mean, Gary Patterson will throw the kitchen sink to come win this game. I think you have to go, I mean, because to me right now, I mean, Lincoln Riley's a tremendous game planner, but as far as X's and O's and preparation and having a team ready to attack your weaknesses and find your vulnerabilities and then exploit them, nobody in the Big 12 is better than Gary Patterson, and he's one of the best in college football. He's kind of the Bill Belichick of that for me in the Big 12. He's going to find your vulnerability and attack it. You got to do the same thing right back to him. You've got to be, as a coaching staff,
okay, well, then number
doing
one,
the exact
you
same thing.
Okay, well, number one, you have to show that you're as physical as they are.
That's right.
And if you can't, he is going to punch you square in the face. And he's done that for 4 years with Texas. He said, guess what? You guys are soft.
And Texas is back down.
And yeah, you guys are soft. If it's 11 o'clock in the morning, you're soft. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're soft. Just before dinner, you're soft, too. That's what Gary Patterson thinks of Texas football.
Well, the three previous before last year were complete dominations against Charlie Strong. That was an overmatch situation. Last year's game was actually, it was 24-7 at the end, but Texas just couldn't, the offense with Sam Ellinger, they couldn't move the ball. This is why I think Texas defensively can be in this game. The offense is going to have to create scoring opportunities to give them a chance to win this football game.
This looks like a 1,000-unit play
this week.
No way. Everybody listen up.
That's
here.
That's the one?
This is a 1,000-unit play.
BK, Texas fans just got excited right now. Bucky's calling the 500.
How could you possibly be excited? Do you understand?
Because you're calling the last time this happened, you lost everybody's money for it.
Well, you were all foaming at the mouth versus USC. Did you watch the TCU-Ohio State game?
I did.
You caught a glimpse of the speed.
I know the speed. Texas has some speed. They got some speed on their team.
You better be in a constant backpedal, and the safeties can't give up anything behind them.
I saw them lose a neutral site game by 12, Buck.
And give up 500 yards.
You need to stop, too, okay? You need to take your victory at Baylor. You need to take your Baylor win, okay? Your
Kansas?
Yes. Just take that and be happy
this
weekend.
Not only is it a TCU win, it's a guaranteed Gold Star lock.
Dude, it's...
Take it to the bank. This is music to Longhorn fans' ears.
I'm trying to tell you, it's just not that time yet.
1,000
okay.
units. The Clemson game was only 500
units. But it's college football.
Units.
You show up, you play the game.
But I'm not
play 60 minutes.
No, I'm not downplaying what Texas is about. Still, just look at the two teams. It's just not there yet. It's okay. Someone said we don't want any more learning experiences every year. Well, you're going to get one Saturday. Another
TCU's
learning experience.
He's got a bad offensive line and a sophomore quarterback. And you're building.
I think that Ohio State team is very close to Georgia and Roll Tide. Those three teams. Are in the same? Okay. Is Texas in the same book with those?
Ohio State didn't even have their coach. He's still lying.
Oh my God!
I'm just sorry we're in this situation.
Please tell that guy to quit getting on TV. Just
Gary
go.
Patterson
coach.
Lost by 12 to go Ryan
coach.
Day. Who's Ryan Day?
Oh my goodness!
You know, the great St. Urban Meyer. We'll come back.
Hey, coaches coach and players play.
We will be back. When we do, we'll pick this up. Bucky on a Tuesday calling the Gold Star Lock. We got Monday Night Football wrapping up week 2. All the Longhorn stuff. Craig Way has the Craig Way Report coming up. B&E Fact of the Day. Part of a Tuesday, September 18. Glad you're with us on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. Stream us on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you on a Tuesday. Hope you had a great Monday night, a little Monday Night Football. Astros took a gut punch. They're up there 4 outs from a win, and then Grand Salami, this big
Salami
beer league softball-looking pinch hitter came up and jacked one on Hector Rondon. We'll get you details. Plus, the franchise relocation affiliation news is coming down this week. Been telling you about it all summer long. It was just a matter of time, and now the time is now. Also, Texas TCU. Bucky's already picked the Gold Star Lock as the Horned Frogs.
I just don't want you to get that false sense of security.
I don't have a false.
With all the fun that everybody had at the stadium and Bevo Boulevard, you know what? It's still, yes, they're still learning under Tom Herman's second year. But the best coach in the state of Texas, who has been overlooked twice for this head coaching job here because he wears mock turtlenecks and he sweats a lot, does not like this place.
Are you reporting that he was overlooked?
He's been overlooked twice here, but he is. Let me just say.
Maybe he wasn't interested.
That guy was overlooked twice here at Texas. But that guy brings his team in, and he just tells them that these guys are really, really soft. And once you hit them a couple times,
Yeah, but what if they don't? Like, well,
I've watched Texas, this team play them four times.
Okay, but it's a different team. New year. New team. You remember last year's game when Texas gave up a couple touchdowns early on fourth? The TCU got up early on them because of a couple of
fourth. What was the final score of that game?
24-7. It was 17-0.
They scored 7 points.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But, yes. Right. This is a new team. That's the whole point of the conversation. Texas was in the game. They forced, once they got a hold of the offense after a couple of first drives, much like USC, TCU came out blazing last year in Fort Worth and went up 17-0, but they didn't move the ball.
They're not playing really USC. They're not playing a team like that.
Okay. Well, then might as well not talk about it all week long.
Oh, no, we can talk about it.
Because Texas has a better offense this year, would you agree, than they did last year?
Yes, they do.
Shane Boone and the Longhorns rushed for 9 yards against TCU in Fort Worth, 9.
But TCU is faster on defense than they were last year. They're better on defense than they were even last year.
Well, we'll see. They gave up 520, 530 to Ohio State. And I'm not saying Texas is Ohio State's offensive personnel, but we'll see if that's the case. You got to play the game, and it is in Austin, and the Longhorns are better offensively. I just don't know that. I do think this is a much more physical program under Tom Herman and Todd Orlando than it was under Charlie Strong. I think that was true, that Gary Patterson's teams, because the three matchups against
Charlie
Strong.
So you totally overlooked the Maryland game and the Tulsa game just to go on USC?
I'm watching a team improve, and I'm watching a team that I think has been circling towards this game and this coaching staff. Look, Maryland was that coaching staff's fault. That was all on Tom Herman. That team went in with no game plan.
So, as I just said, they're still learning.
Sure.
This is a group of not only coaches, but a team that's still learning.
I'm not going to sit here on a Tuesday and say Texas can't win this game Saturday, because I think they have an opportunity. If they put Gary Patterson on his heels, come in with things that he has not seen on tape yet, put plays, install a game plan that is creative, that doesn't allow Gary Patterson to zero in and be predictable. I do think Todd Orlando's defense will have something for them. I think Gary Johnson, coming off Defensive Player of the Week honors, is ready to he's kind of found his legs here. He was everywhere and living in the backfield against USC. I think that TCU is much better than USC. I'll say that point blank.
I think Texas can score 21 points.
And I do think it's appropriate that TCU is favored by 3. I think that's about right. And I think they are right to be the favorite team because they've dominated Texas. But this is where highly paid coaching staffs earn their money. This is where you install a game plan that is creative, that helps you move the ball against a team that has dominated you defensively.
But you sound like this has happened all of a sudden. Happened at Texas. Where has it happened? It hasn't. You talk about a staff that's a highly paid staff and they're doing all these things. Where has that really happened except for last week?
Well, I'm just telling you on a Tuesday what I'm expecting to see on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well,
but that I think they're have they're
that's how they to, have to win.
Yes,
and that's I think exactly they, how they have
and
to
I
win.
And I think Texas knew. I think Tom Herman knew that 3 weeks ago that to beat Gary Patterson to start conference play,
highly paid staff screwed around with a vanilla offense and lost a football game.
Yes,
and now you expect them to then all of a sudden in game four to be a smarter staff.
Yes,
this is going to be. I think Texas will score 21. I think they can score 21 points.
I think they'll need more than that to beat TCU, but I don't think much more than that. I think this game will be played in the 20s.
Ooh, I don't. I think TCU will get in the 30s, but I think Texas will be in the 20s.
But much like last year, after falling down 17-7, Texas got it back to 17-7, and they needed one play to make it a one-score game in Fort Worth and never could. The offense could never get that going because the offensive line was horrible, and they attacked the weaknesses of that offensive line. And, Shane Buechele did what he could, but, 9 rushing yards is not going to beat the Gary Patterson team. I think one of the key factors of this game is Keontae Ingram's health. If Keontae Ingram can play and give the Longhorns a factor back,
he gives them a little shake and bake because they're going to need it against a TCU defense that can fly.
And they're going to have to, because I don't think you're winning this game and running the ball consistently with Daniel Young. I think you're winning this game
no gut runs
with electric players. Well, you're going to have to gut run them a little bit. You're going to have to be physical and go at them because side to side is not working against TCU. They're too fast.
Yeah.
You have to stretch them vertically and horizontally. But look, I think that's the.
See, you're the one who's got me this way. By the way, you got me this way because you really believe this staff played vanilla against Maryland. They weren't smart enough to actually go into that Maryland game with a game. You believe that? I think you do believe that.
I've been saying it for a month since the game. I mean, yeah, I believe it. I watched it, and I've watched this team play Tulsa, and I've watched this team then play USC with much more creative game plans, adding wrinkles to things. And I think, this is just my opinion and speculation, but I think that was
that's
plan.
What we do.
That was the plan coming out of camp.
And see, my speculation is that this group is still learning, and they're still trying to find ways to do things, and they're trying to still work their personnel. They're going to miss Roach, by the way.
Well, they'll miss Roach down the road. I think Kansas State would be the bigger loss for Malcolm Roach. This game may be too fast for Malcolm Roach. And this is this is a game where Jeffrey McCullough's speed is going to be needed on the football field.
For sure. You're going to have fast guys.
He, along with Gary Johnson, were everywhere on Saturday night. Those two linebackers need to be on the football field in this game. They're going to have to be fast. And Malcolm Roach, you know, he hasn't been as productive as a lot of people would have expected. But, you know, I think you'll feel the loss of Malcolm Roach when you play a team like K-State. That's going to line up and come right at you. That's where he is more efficient for me for Texas. But
I love this game. I thought this team would be 3-0 coming into this game. That's what I thought. Remember, I said this is 3-0 and looking forward to TCU. They're not 3-0. They've gotten better. They're better on the offensive line. I just think this group is too fast. And it's not a downer. This is just the way I feel like. After watching these two teams.
I mean, because it says he's already drinking the Kool-Aid. No, I just, I believe that this, the strategy of this staff coming out of camp was to win three games and be as vanilla as possible, knowing the personnel, and they didn't execute. And it's shame on Texas for the Maryland game. They should have won the Maryland game. Absolutely. I'm not taking anything away from them. But I don't think it was because of, I think the plan all along has been, let's get to 3-0. And comes out guns blazes for conference.
Yeah, but people are you know on the text line getting mad at me saying that I'm not turning on Texas. I'm just saying, is it bad for this group to still be learning under Tom Herman?
TCU team. I completely see your point. You wouldn't have picked Texas to beat TCU 3 weeks ago, and what you've seen for 3 weeks gives you no indication that they're going to beat TCU.
No,
and that's a fair point, and it's why they're a 3-point underdog at home, and it's why. You know, a lot of people in purple are very confident. And I know a lot of people who root for Burnt Orange are not real confident because they've seen this team dominate their team the last four seasons. My opinion is I think you're going to see the best Texas team this week to try to
And I think the reason attack. I'm saying that is you can see the best team you want to see, but is that still good enough to be? And that's how
remember,
I feel.
I haven't forgotten that Tom Herman before, you know, the last 8 months was the big game coach. He was the giant killer. He was the coach who came up with great game plans to help beat, you know, teams they weren't supposed to beat when he was at Houston. He was this this guy. Whenever he's an underdog, he finds a way to get the victory. That's the coach. That's the Tom Herman that needs to show up Saturday. That's the Tom Herman that needs to be installing a game plan right now.
There you go.
That's the team because that's the way you're going to beat Gary Patterson is if the giant killer Tom Herman shows back up, takes control of this offense.
Because I don't think your team versus their team physically is the same.
No, if you come out and do what you've been doing, Gary Patterson is going to snuff that out because that's what he does. There's got to be new wrinkles. There has to be things that you have not put on tape yet that you've been working on and have it in the back of your mind all summer to throw. Once you get a hold of Gary Patterson with a better offensive line, which you didn't have a year ago, a more experienced quarterback who has some legs to him that can run a little bit, and guys like Keontae Ingram, little Jordan Humphrey, those guys are going to have to come to the front, and Tom Herman's going to have to put those guys in positions to create plays.
Colin Johnson is the guy that can really get this thing done. If he can get on top of some of their little cornerbacks and really, but he's going to have to drop it. But Sam is going to have to make a decision, make a quick decision, get rid of that football because those guys will be coming. BK, when you see how the game is, because there's a lot of people saying TCU didn't look that good and they lost by 12 points.
One guy on the text line said that.
Yeah, but do you believe that a 12 point loss to Ohio State, I mean, I know they didn't win the game, but did you think TCU wasn't a part of that game, or the physicality of that game wasn't that good?
No, they were right there. I mean, they had a lead in the second half. They just went through a 5-minute stretch in which they gave up a long touchdown on a screen pass. They had a shovel pass returned for a touchdown, like a pick six, and then they had a punt block that led to another touchdown. So they went from being in control of that game to all of a sudden playing from behind. They were down 33-21 after that stretch. They ended up scoring a touchdown to make it a 5-point game once again. But Ohio State just did a good job of running out the clock. They've got better offensive linemen and better running backs than Texas.
I don't like moral victories, but do you think this Texas team, even in a loss to a TCU, can be a better team?
Oh, no question.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they stink.
Well, look, I'm not being adamant that they're going to win or lose a game. I think they can win the game, but I think it sounds like you don't think they can win the game. That's what Texas come in with the game plan I'm talking about, execute it well, play well, and lose to TCU. That's absolutely possible.
I'm just saying I don't think they're there yet. And that's the TCU team.
Well, to BK's point, I mean, they don't have Joe Weber, they don't have J.K. Dobbins. But again, I think Keontae Ingram, little Jordan Humphrey, these guys can emerge as playmakers. Those are the guys you have to continue to feed. Those are your best players. And Sam Ehlinger and Tom Herman have to get them the ball. Now, Ingram is questionable. We're not sure if he's going to go. He's going to try to practice today on that that bone bruise in his knee. If he can go and be a factor, I think that gives Texas an opportunity to put another explosion player on the field that they're going to need. They're going to need that against TCU. And Todd Orlando's defense has to play like they did the final three quarters of last year's game, where they shut them down and ate three and outs and harassed Kenny
Hill.
They
got to play like they played against USC at the and in the Coliseum.
But
in the Coliseum.
Well, look, the reason they lost to TCU last year was they came out flat-footed in the first quarter, and they put 17 points on the board. And that Texas was playing from behind. You can't play from behind in this game against TCU. All right, so it's only Tuesday. It's a conference football.
It's a big game. This is a huge game.
Well, we got other big stories to get to, which we'll get to here from Tom Herman coming up on our Coach's Corner. The Round Rock Express making it official yesterday. You Houston Astro fans are going to like the news. If you're a Ranger fan, probably not. We'll get you details on that. Plus, much, much more on this Tuesday. Craig Way, though, with more from Tom Herman and the Tom Herman Monday News Conference, the Craig Way Report.
Launching one's team into a productive work week becomes paramount for a head coach. And that goes for all three of the area's collegiate head football coaches, regardless of whether the prior game was a win or a loss. So, for Joe Austin at Southwestern University, Everett Withers at Texas State, and Tom Herman at Texas, the week actually begins the day after the prior game. Sundays mean workouts and meetings. Mondays for off days for the players. Now begins the heavy lifting on the practice field for the next couple of days. For Herman, it means preparing his Texas team for a TCU squad that he says was quite impressive despite the loss to Ohio State in Arlington last Saturday.
We've got our work cut out for us on both sides of the football. TCU has speed everywhere. I mean, their skill guys on offense are fast in terms of their wide receivers and running backs. You know, the running back, what was it, 94-yard touchdown run or something like that against Ohio State, who has got a lot of speed on defense themselves. And then obviously on defense, even their front is fast and athletic. So, they played well. They came up a bit short, but this is as fast of a defense as I've seen in a long time.
We'll hear more from Tom Herman on the preparations for the matchup with TCU coming up this afternoon. In our next report, I'm Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
We'll sort through the NFL after 2 weeks. A lot going on, including the Bears all of a sudden looking like the monsters of the midway on defense. Khalil Mack makes a difference. John Gruden somewhere wondering, what the heck? Could have used Khalil Mack last week when we were blowing a late lead to the Broncos. Not good, but Bears are 1-1. Should be 2-0, could be 2-0 very easily. We'll run through the Monday Nighter from last night. Also, Buck, we mentioned in the headlines, as we're talking Texas football, already really going deep into this Texas-TCU game, excited for conference play. As I've been saying all summer, this is kind of a foregone conclusion. We kind of knew it was coming, but no one can really say anything until it's official, just out of respect to the process. But the Round Rock Express sent out an announcement yesterday that they have every intent, or they have an intention to pursue another major league affiliation. Their contract is up with the Texas Rangers. For folks who don't know, I mean, each minor league team is its own entity, but they create agreements with major league teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Texas Rangers and the Round Rock Express have had an agreement that ended at the end of this season. It has expired. And this is essentially what Round Rock was waiting for. As soon as Nolan Ryan was out in Texas and ended up in Houston, and Reed Ryan became the president of the Houston Astros, this was just as obvious as it could be that whenever the contracts are up, the Round Rock Express will once again become the AAA affiliate of the Houston Astros. And that is expected to be announced later this week. The Rangers, meanwhile, will likely announce, and this is not official either, but they're likely going to announce that their new AAA affiliate will play in San Antonio. So Round Rock will play, and remember, it's already been announced that the San Antonio Missions, who have been a AA franchise for a long time, are moving out west to West Texas, and they're going to jump up to AAA. At least all that is expected to be made official here in the next 3 or 4 days. But yesterday, so on Sunday, the Fresno Grizzlies, who had been the Astros AAA affiliate out in Fresno, announced that they have an intention to find a new affiliate, which means the Astros are free. And now yesterday, Round Rock announced that they're looking for a new affiliate, which obviously you draw a line from Houston to Round Rock, and it just makes sense because that team is owned by Ryan Sanders Baseball.
Yep.
And there's been kind of a, I would say, unholy alliance. The relationship between the Rangers and Round Rock has been great.
Right.
But there's, ever since the Nolan Ryan thing, it's just been...
It was always going to be that way eventually,
always
right?
Always going to be that way, yeah. Right? And it just makes sense. And so if you're an Astros fan, the AAA team won the PCL this year, the Grizzlies. All that talent that the Astros have in their farm system will be playing at the Dell Diamond this year come April. And looks like the Rangers' farm talent will be headed to San Antonio. But again, all that will be made official later in the week. So good stuff.
Absolutely.
That's the way it falls. So we'll take your thoughts on that. Just put it out there. Because I know some people get confused by that, you know, well, are the Round Rock Express still going to play? Yes, they'll still be the Round Rock Express. They're the players that put on the uniform and go play in front of the fans at the Dell Diamond will just be provided by a different organization than it has been.
Right.
But remember, when the Express began, it was the Astros when they were a double A affiliate.
Yeah, the building isn't closing down.
Nope. They're still going to set attendance records and maybe more because there's so much Astro
That's
fever
true.
Right now coming off of the World Championship and a team this year in Houston that has a chance to go try to win another World Championship and is just loaded with talent. So there you go.
That'll happen starting the spring, right? Spring ball?
That will happen, yeah, in April.
Probably in April. Okay.
I'm just saying, maybe I'll make a trip in March, Buck. Remember my annual spring training exodus?
You didn't go last year.
I know. But
BK, sorry.
You're losing my bit?
You had one good year.
Let's do the B&E fact of the day. Fact of the day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
Fact of the Day, will BK be going this spring?
No! I'll give you the answer, and I'll give you the answer of who will be going and where. And where.
Yeah.
For our spring training trip come March.
There you go.
Squeeze into the suitcase or something, man.
Hey, BK, I'll get you tickets to the Snoop Dogg concert out at Dell Diamond in December, right?
Nice.
The,
Warren G.
I saw the lineup.
The Pass Puff Puff tour that's coming to Dell Diamond
in
December.
Is that Warren G?
Warren G's coming. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got to puff before you pass, dog.
Man, Snoop Dogg. Come on with my big hat.
We'll have the answer to the fact of the day coming up, plus your headlines, plus Tom Herman and Coach's Corner, loaded on a Tuesday.